We back on? Okay, we're reconvening the Appropriations Committee meeting. We're still in discussion on the Budget Control Act that's before us, doing this interim study on it. Congressman Potts, you have the floor.
Continuing on with tribal projected revenue as an amended definition, means revenue produced or realized by tribal entities, including enterprises, and Osage Nation-owned entity distributions, taxation, division, department, or program income realized from other than internal reallocations, lease revenue, and interest income.
Assistant Chief Rick Horn.
Just very quickly, going back up to six, without clarification language with an exclusion, I'm afraid one might include the business entities, since it has the language for which they are charged by the Osage Constitution or Osage laws in Section 14 is in the Constitution. If that is meant to exclude Section 14 entities, we might want to say that out loud.
Are you talking about Article 6, Article 7, Section 14?
I backed up to 6, and I just want to make that one comment.
Article 6, Section 14, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Or you're talking like enterprises?
Mm-hmm.
Just exclude the enterprises specifically.
Okay.
Because I think gaming could considerably be an Osage government entity in certain, it's just a clarification comment.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, continue on, Mr. Potts.
Definition of tribal projected revenue seeks to fix a lot of the issues that we have every year regarding internal reallocations. As far as IDC recoveries being projected revenue, they're not. It's not additional revenue for which we appropriate their recoveries. Same is true of space cost. So understanding that that may need some tweaking, but that's the intent, is that tribal projected revenue starts to address what we actually receive as revenue.
And I'd like to just assert something that I said at the beginning of the meeting. We did have a conversation, or I did have a conversation yesterday when we were talking about putting agenda item number 5 on this agenda. And part of that conversation revolved around the term of the internal reallocations of funds. We need to definitely get this defined in this Budget Control Act. That's been one of the rough sources, even though we've been improving in the appropriation cycle. That's always been a rough patch year over year over year of how those numbers are handled. In fact, we have space costs this year that's been subject to $800,000 worth of space cost that's been subject to IDC charges twice within this FY19 budget. So we need to be able to prevent things like that from happening, and I'll recognize Assistant Chief.
On number 7, that definite, the strict interpretation of that definition right there would be $40 million more than what we actually received, because it does not consider distribution, it considers revenue realized by tribal entities, including enterprise. That enterprise realized is a number far larger than their distribution.
That was going to be my point, too.
Thank you.
Ms. Fox.
Also, so I'm not sure, I assume there's always an intention behind the definitions. So by saying tribal entities and enterprise, so why would we anticipate what the home health is going to make? I mean, that's not what you're trying to do, right?
Madam Chair. So,
Congressman Potts.
You're correct. However, when we say tribal entities, I believe that is tribal revenue that comes to the nation. By 0730, whatever the Gaming Reform Act is, that is, retention of net revenue comes to this Congress. We allow them to keep their proceeds by enacting an annual plan. So I would say that that is tribal projected revenue. And additionally, as far as what home health makes, we do try to get a handle on that. Home health, historic preservation, all that program and other income that we've always relied on from the nation, advertising sales from Osage News, that is revenue of the nation.
Sorry.
Ms. Box.
That's not what I meant. I meant like the LLs, the home health that's outside. Not the program, not a program, but the LLC or whatever type of entity it is. So when I think of tribal projected revenue, I'm thinking about what are we going to appropriate against? And we don't get a distribution from those other LLCs. We only get a gaming distribution. So
they
that
are.
Was just an assumption.
Congressman Potts.
It's my understanding they are required by law. It might be a resolution, so it might be non-binding. But they are required to start delivering distributions, even if they are a dollar. I believe they are. I think it's law. I may have to refresh my memory on that. But
well, a company that doesn't have a healthy net can't distribute anything. So
I'm going to cite with
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
I think he's right. I think there's a law that says, and it doesn't specify an amount, so a dollar would satisfy it. Mm-hmm. Kind of a crazy law, but it's on the books, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to reiterate that that is a confusing definition if it doesn't somehow tease out distributions as opposed to using a term like revenue produced or realized. I think it needs, it's going to be lengthier, but I think in order to do what I think the sponsor wants it to do, you're going to have to, I have the same understanding, but that's not it. It's the, somebody told me in my first year in the Congress, words matter. And so I think you need something in there to tease out distributions as opposed to using a term like revenue produced or realized by tribal entities. That's a huge pool of money.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's continue on.
Definition 8 is unassigned funds. That is a definition request that I believe came from Congresswoman Whitehorn. That was requested by the time at the Treasurer.
Yeah, it was what caused heartburn for the Retained Revenue Act. That's why it got a veto message, because we used the term unobligated funds, which is no longer used, a term used by Gatsby. It's now been changed to unassigned fund balances or unassigned funds. So, yes, I did ask for that definition to be placed in there. Assistant Chief.
I would direct you. Question to the controller, when we're back to making sure accounting terms and our law match, is that a term you know of in accountings that work for you?
Okay,
good.
Section A, sort title, this act may be cited as the Budget Control Act, simply to give it a name. I know there's been some heartburn on, do we have to call it that? I believe I sent a text to the chief to say pick a name, but I gave him a list of similar pieces of legislation throughout history, including the Budget Control Act of 2011, a federal law, Budget Control Act of 2018, a federal law, Budget Control Act of 1974, the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985, federal law, the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Act of 1974, the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, the Budget Enforcement Act of 1990, the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, and the Budget Parameter and Limitations Act that was enacted by this Congress. Pick a name. I can go with anything. If we need to take a name out, let's strike a name in the name of compromise, but it's got to be called something.
Assistant Chief?
Prefer not to borrow terms from a government that's $20 trillion in debt. but I'll talk to the chief about that. I'm really glad we made it to the next section, because we'll have our hand up for that.
Okay.
You have 10 minutes left, so I guess we can talk about the Board of Equalization, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Board of Equalization. in concept, is designed to get us all on the same page. Because what we hear down here more often than anything else is, we didn't know that, or the fight over projected revenue each year. All the Board of Equalization is designed to do is to certify revenue estimates by the Treasurer and entities within the government. The Osage Nation Congress hereby establishes the Osage Nation Board of Equalization. The Board of Equalization shall consist of 7 members with voting rights. Membership shall be as follows: the Principal Chief, the Assistant Principal Chief, the Speaker of the Congress, the Chair of the Congressional Appropriations Committee, the Treasurer of the Nation, the Controller, and the Legislative Budget Director. I understand that that needs to change to Budget Analyst, and I agree. Some initial reaction: the Principal Chief would need to come off of there, because the Constitution does not give us the authority to direct the Principal Chief. But humbly suggest that that leaves you with a 6-member Board of Equalization. So not sure who breaks in the event of a tie. Taking recommendations.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
There's no one on our side that thinks this is constitutional for 2 seconds. No person or collection of persons shall share the responsibilities that we have separately. If we want to meet down in the basement and work through these things, as we've done for a couple, 3 years now, I think to good effect, to come to some sort of agreement on what projected revenue is, to come to some sort of agreement on whether the budget we're submitting gets underneath there, that's all fine and good. But to set this up is a direct violation of separation of powers to everybody I've talked to.
Congressman Potts.
The Osage Constitution states in Article 6, Section 22, that any legislative committee, commissions, or et cetera, the Osage Nation Congress may establish and appoint any subordinate commission, committee, or other body. Members of the Osage Nation Congress may be appointed to serve on any such body, excepting any and all tribal enterprise boards. So I do believe that the Constitution gives us the authority to do it. Additionally, I would suggest that meeting in the basement is not open and transparent as charged by the Constitution. And third, a similar piece of legislation already does this. The War Memorial Commission, enacted by our current chief, establishes a panel to do something very similar. I will state that the Board of Equalization is not charged with establishing projected revenue. That function remains a congressional function. The Board of Equalization is only to certify the revenue estimates so that the Congress is dealing with a certified estimate amount. So it's not what we got from the Treasurer on the back of a napkin that morning. That's the only purpose for a Board of Equalization. It's not to take the function away from Congress for setting projected revenue. It's not taking the function away from the executive branch to veto a projected revenue resolution. It's simply putting these people in the room to work together to certify a revenue estimate that is then delivered to the Congress for the Congress to take action on.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I agree. This section is unconstitutional. And you gave an example, but that example of the War Memorial is short term. That's not anything that's going to last for, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now. So to me, that's not a good comparison. It's a short term board that is specific to one thing, and I see us winding up in court over that. And I don't agree that. I think meeting in the basement was a not a good way to go. I think that the outcome of this section can be accomplished in meetings like this.
Thank you.
That's what I think. And I think that as long as that's in there, I will never vote for this.
Congresswoman Potts, let me recognize Assistant Chief, and then, well, let me let you reply to that's Congresswoman.
I don't need a response. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I'm happy to reply in that you said that the War Memorial Commission isn't going to last for 10 years. It's been in operation for 7 already. So I do think that that's a decent comparison. when we've established this commission by law to carry out this purpose, they have no legal function. It's a recommending body. That's all this Board of Equalization is. I understand that the composition of the board may be unconstitutional, but I wholeheartedly agree with Section 22 of Article 6 that we have the constitutional authority to establish any subordinate committee, commission, or other body accepting or in placing members of Congress on it.
Congresswoman?
We have the authority to do a lot of things. We have the authority within Congress to do districting. But do I think it's a good idea for 12 members to change the face of how we vote? No, I don't. So I'm not of the opinion that just because we have the authority to do something that it's best for the Osage Nation and the Osage people. That's where we differ.
Real quick.
One more word, then I have two other people I need to recognize.
I would agree, but to state that the section is unconstitutional is not a valid statement. It might not be the best idea, and I'll accept that. I'm happy and welcome amendments from you, Congresswoman Goodfox. But to say that this section is unconstitutional, I disagree. We have the authority to do it by the Constitution.
Assistant Chief, and then I have Mr.
No, actually you don't, because the Supreme Court said the Congress cannot invoke one part of the Constitution to violate another part of the Constitution.
So I don't know really.
It's either in Pratt or White.
Is it,
I have to look it up.
Is it, well, let me ask one question of that comment. If the principal chief were stricken from this,
it even needs to be
the membership.
No, that's not going to get it done. It's just like saying, okay, this is a good analogy. I'm glad you brought this up. It says you can assign duties to me, but you can't assign duties to me in violation of the separation of powers part of it. We're right back to the same thing. You can't use one part of the Constitution to. Please let me finish. You can't invoke one part of the Constitution to violate another part.
And what part is, what power, what part of the executive power is violated here?
A person or collection of persons executing something that's supposed to happen either in this branch or in this branch, separate and distinct.
And what is that function that's just delegated to one branch?
It doesn't matter what the function is. There's no two functions.
I think it is important to know what that is.
No, the Constitution says you can't, the Constitution ignores function. It said, and if all of this is true, then the commission's unconstitutional. The Memorial Commission's unconstitutional. I'll say that up front. Okay. Well, if that's unconstitutional.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
Well, sorry, I'm going to disagree. It doesn't matter what the function is. It's just, it's separate and complete. Wait, let me finish. It's separate and completely separate unless the Constitution specifically makes an exception to that rule.
And it does. It allows, it gives, it authorizes Congress to appoint boards and commissions.
Okay, circular argument. So,
it also says the separation of powers clause, the clause, the portion of it you guys don't really want to recognize, it says except as provided for in this Constitution. Well, if the provision is there in the Constitution for the legislative branch to form boards and commissions, then that's the exception to the separation of powers clause.
Not according to the Supreme Court. I'll look it up.
Okay.
This section of law, in the attempt to try to walk this back, mm-hmm. This section of law does not take the responsibility away of Congress to set projected revenue, nor does it charge the executive branch with setting projected revenue. It states by law that a revenue certification is to be sent to the Congress so that we can carry out our legislative function. This does not usurp the power of any branch of government. It puts us in the same room, subject to open meetings, as Section C of this law would state, to develop a revenue certification to better inform this branch of government on the certification or on the projected revenue.
Mr. Johnson, I'm going to recognize you and then we're going to adjourn the meeting.
I just had a question that goes along with all this. putting my simpleton hat on. I understand what you're saying. You have the authority to appoint commissions, but do you have the authority to appoint me to do something?
Congressman Potts?
No.
Then?
There's nothing that would require you to come to these meetings.
No, that's not the question. That's not the question.
I would say the answer is no.
I agree. The answer is no.
Does the Congress have the authority to appoint me to any commission, board, doesn't matter, as the director of operations?
Or the treasurer or the
controller? That would be my question. If you don't have the authority to do that to me, then how do you have the authority to do that to the principal? The principal chief, obviously not. The assistant principal chief.
But they actually have that authority.
We have that authority.
The treasurer.
We have that authority.
We have that authority. We don't. The controller would be the only one that we don't have the authority to appoint.
Well, so, the principal chief, right?
Correct. But I've already
stricken. So now you're down to five.
My point is it fails.
There we go.
That's just my question. That was just my question.
If you'd like for there to be five, I'm acceptable to that. But we're still getting the head shakes, so.
Okay. I think we're going to have to end this discussion on that point. Let's remember where we are. Motion to adjourn with a second. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
The meeting's adjourned. I think it was a good meeting, guys. Thank you.
But are you talking about our final budgets, too? Because not all of them are 10. We have some Novembers and some.